Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum, peace be unto you. I'm Eddie, your host, and you're watching The Dean Show. Today, we're going to be answering some of your questions. We don't do this often because we need a specialist. We don't want to just have anybody answering your questions. We need somebody that's qualified, and we got a qualified individual to answer. So we're going to do some Q&A, a special Q&A section here on The Dean Show with some questions we feel that many people can relate to and many people will get to benefit from. My next guest, when we come back, it's a surprise, surprise. Sit tight, we'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
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 This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Eddie.
I'm really excited
thank
to have
you for having me.
Thank you for finding the time to be with us. Family's good. Everything's good.
Everything's excellent. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I don't find a group of people who are praising God more. Every time you ask a Muslim, he can have the worst day. You know, he just say, Alhamdulillah. What do we mean when we say Alhamdulillah?
Basically, we believe as Muslims that everything Allah ordained for us is the best for us. So even if it looks sometimes, you know, it's not the best things happened to me today, but I know that it's tomorrow will be the best for me. I know that Allah planned for me, and basically, since I know the nature of this God, He is full of goodness and love and mercy, I'm not expecting anything less than that from Him. So I know for sure, whatever I'm going through today, it's the best thing for me. It's something I love, I'm enjoying it. If it's not something I'm very comfortable with it, I know Allah preparing me for something so beautiful coming soon, inshallah.
This is amazing, amazing. And alhamdulillah that you're here with us. And we didn't just want to have anybody answer these questions. We want somebody who's qualified. Now, you're the vice president also of the Al Maghrib Institute. You're also, there's a group of scholars who run the AMJA online. This is the American Jurist of...
Yeah, the Assembly of Muslim Jurists in North America.
Yeah, so you guys answer these types of questions, correct?
Yeah, I didn't hear your questions yet, but yes.
You get a lot of them.
Yes, we get all the questions.
So we're going to get straight into it, and we thought we'd pick some questions from the bunch because I feel that these questions, many people can relate to them. They might be in a similar situation. The sister who writes in, she starts off with, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum, which is a greeting of all the prophets, isn't
it? Excellent,
yes. Greeting of the angels too?
Yes. And Allah so, greets people in paradise with this greet as well.
If we make it, inshallah, to paradise,
absolutely,
we get the greeting of peace?
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah gather us there. Ameen. Tell us, she says that she's a nurse and she's finding it difficult to perform all the prayers on time. She says she can usually perform the morning prayer and the night prayer, and then she gets home and she'll like combine the prayers that she missed. All right. So she wants to know that she's been doing this repeatedly, and she wants to know, is this correct? And is this okay because of her work situation? That's one part of the question. The other part of the question she's saying is it okay to do this? And my other part is regarding her clothing. She talks about, I am currently not wearing a hijab. I am currently reading the Quran, and I have found that the Creator, talking about Allah, she says the Creator does state to dress modest by covering the bosoms and lengthening the garments. But she says, I do not see anywhere where Allah, the Almighty, says to cover the hair. She's saying this. And I like how she finishes this. We can take a point. She says, if I am mistaken, please provide me with the verse that states explicitly to cover the head. You know, she's like humbling. She said, if I could be wrong, this is from what she's seeing. And seems like she just wants to know. She wants to do the right thing.
Okay.
So there's two parts to the question. The prayer,
yes,
and then the hijab. Talk to us, Sheikh.
First of all, I would like to say thank you, sister, for writing for us. And have this attitude of humbleness. Basically, you want to learn, as you mentioned or you pointed, that she's maybe a mistake, you know? And this is the attitude of the learners. And we're all learning our deen. As for the first part of the question, she combined the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. As-salat was prescribed upon the believers in certain times. So, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril came to him and to teach him when each salat time start and finish. And he came twice to teach him that. So basically, the salat has a certain time, the dhuhr, the fajr, the asr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, the night prayer, the fajr prayer, the morning prayer. And the Muslim should keep his prayer or her prayer in these specific times that the Prophet ﷺ told us. But in certain circumstances, people might, because of the nature of their job, they cannot pray it on time, For example, the scholars talk about a doctor or a surgeon perform a surgery, or she's a nurse, she is with the patient, or a policeman, he's basically involved in investigation.
Patrolling and everything.
Patrolling the neighborhood, person work on the borders, whatever nature of job, it will prevent that person from praying on time. It will be allowed for that person to combine Dhuhr and Asr together, either in the time of Dhuhr or the time of Asr, or Maghrib and Isha, in the time of Maghrib or the time of Isha, but not to join the 5 days, the five prayers together, or four of them together. No, that's not allowed. Alhamdulillah, we all have like a lunch break. You can pray in your lunch break in any place, anywhere. You can have always 10 minutes break. Just doesn't take much. The prayer, if you just basically fulfill the obligation or the pillar of the prayer, it wouldn't take from you 3-4 minutes, you know, and you're done, and you go back to your work fresh, full of energy, full of blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please try not to make this a habit that you miss the prayer. Try to talk to your supervisor to find a way that you can perform the salat, because we all know, first of most, we are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always want Him to bless our work, our effort, our income. So in return, we try always to do the salat on time. The salat is one thing we should not ever miss with it. Yes, Islam make it easy on us in certain circumstances. You know, I know maybe 1 week you couldn't do it, maybe another day, but consistently you cannot pray at all on time. I would really advise you not to take this as a habit. I try to pray on time, inshallah ta'ala. As for the second question about covering the hair, actually the verse that you just referred to, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the woman to basically to cover themselves, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ, that basically she will take the garment and she will lower the garment from the top of her body. And the top of your body is your head. So that's why that garment come from the top of your body, which is the head, all the way down. Some scholars said it goes like this. Some said it goes like this, covering the face. You know, it's a very famous debate between the scholars. But sister, I just want to tell you, there is no one ever in the history of Islam was called a scholar, said that the Muslim does not need to work to cover her hair.
There's no dispute about it.
There's no dispute about it. There's no one Allah created so far called a scholar of Sharia would say, a woman can show her hair. Unless she's an old woman, and this old woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, give them permission to show some of their beauties, because the ruling is not that strict when it comes to them. And I'm talking about a woman like in her 70s or something like that.
Like 70 and above?
Yeah, something around that age, basically.
So a woman who's 60s. Like 40, she can't use this as an excuse?
No, like in her 60s, 70s. You know, which is basically, if she is in a status that she's not interested in marriage anymore, men will not be interested in her anymore, and she became old. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are not necessarily to be so strict about the hijab like the younger one. But also he said, وَيَسْتَعْفِفْنْ خَيْرٌ لَهُنْ, if they will keep their hijab completely, it's better for them. Mm-hmm. It's better for
them. We see people doing the opposite. Like people say, well, wait till I get 80, then put the hijab on. You don't want to do this, do you?
That's wrong. That's wrong, yes.
Okay, so this
point. And I just want to mention something about the hijab, something so beautiful. Every time you wear your hijab and you leave your home, can you imagine every single second passed by you, you are worshiping Allah. You've been rewarded for it. So the account of your reward is going on until you come back home. Even I don't get that ajr as a man, because wow. we don't get that ajr as males. This is only for you girls. So this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah and bounty upon you. Alhamdulillah, we're living in a country also that accommodate basically our religion and basically necessities of religions. So you can ask your supervisors, the hospital that you work in, to allow you to wear hijab, and a lot of sisters, they wear hijab while they go to their work. May Allah give you tawfiq.
Ameen. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more in this Q&A session with Dr. Sheikh Waleed Bassouni. We'll be right back.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show with Dr. Sheikh Waleed Bassouni, who is the Vice President of El Maghrib Institute. Also, you are on the committee of scholars from AMJA, it stands for Assembly of Muslim Jurists in America.
Yes.
So people can go there. They have some questions that we don't answer today. But just to kind of add to this, can you tell us now, you mentioned something great about the woman just getting so much reward from wearing this hijab. And also another thing now, that when a person, because we go to qualified individuals in medicine to see doctors, when a person like reads the Quran, I mean, there's another part to it, the hadith, and do we take, because I see a lot of people, they'll read it and they'll say, well, it doesn't say in there, you know, to my understanding, do we have to go to qualified individuals like this great woman did? She came to, you know, the experts to learn, rather than taking it upon themselves and say, hey, you know, I read it, doesn't make tell me that.
Absolutely. You know, when you want to learn anything, you go to the specialist. You know, I cannot just give my opinion about medical issues or physics, or I have to go to the specialist. Same thing with the religion. You go to the specialist and they will explain to you. And also, this religion is not only driven from the Quran only. It's from the Quran, it's from the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, what the scholars agreed upon, the consensus and so forth.
Now when you say the scholars, so this, no one can say like, well, I'm from the Shafi'i or Hanbali school of thought, we don't do this. This is all these great imams, they were on a consensus that this beautiful, modest way of dressing the hijab, this is obligatory?
Every single Muslim scholar agreed that woman must cover her hair.
Okay, so this is a serious issue too.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and it's beautiful, like you said. You got to flip it and see the wonderful rewards
yes,
that
absolutely.
You're getting. I love the way you explain that. And on the prayer, I heard one scholar mention that if all the Muslims were to get up for Fajr, the situations of the Ummah would change.
Absolutely, because that's one prayer the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said. It's the heaviest prayer for the hypocrites.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you resist the temptation of staying in this warm bed and you leave it and you go pray in the masjid. This is something wonderful, you know, and to make you fresh, you start your day fresh. And basically the Prophet said, when you miss Fajr prayer, you woke up kaslan, lazy, no energy and missing the salat. Just terrible way to start your day.
Yeah.
But a beautiful way to start your day by praying, going to the prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa Qur'an al-Fajri," the recitation of the prayer of Fajr is witnessed by Allah Himself and the angels.
Yeah, so could we attribute a lot of the problems we're having as a community, as an ummah, is our neglecting these five daily prayers?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one sign, one clear sign of the weakness of this ummah.
Yeah, so may Allah make us steadfast in those prayers. Ameen, ameen. Moving on to question number two. The person wants to know, he says, do I have to quit smoking? Our local imam smokes 2 packs a day, okay? He says, and some people say it's only makruh, disliked, and others say it's haram. So what's the correct answer? I trust you guys to clear this up for me. What do you got to say, Shay?
Okay, first of all, smoking, I have no doubt in my heart that this is haram. I'm forbidden.
But his imam smokes 2 packs a day.
I don't know about your imams, but you know what? Our imam is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just ask you, do you think of Rasulullah today alive, would he be smoking? Would he be smoking cigarettes? I mean, or cigar. Would you think that of Prophet ﷺ? When you think of Abu Bakr and Umar and the companion, would you think that way of them? Everybody knows this is impossible. That's not, never I can imagine that. I just want to tell you something, that there is maybe some individual in the old days, scholars, when the smoking just started, they said it's dislike, it's not haram, because they don't have the knowledge that we have today, how tobacco is very, it's a deadly thing. You know, there is more than 15,000 people every globally die because of tobacco.
Wow.
Daily.
15,000
people daily die globally because of tobacco. This is a killer machine, a killing machine. So to tell me that this is halal, al-Islam will never allow what is harmful. What is harmful? And the Prophet ﷺ said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You cannot harm yourself and you cannot harm others. You're harming others by the smoke, by smoking. Even now, Western society, and everywhere you go, they realize the dangers of smoking and they're putting so much restriction on it because it's a very harmful thing. The same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't do what can lead to your death or lead to the destruction. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of resources. You're wasting your health. And it prevents you from dhikrullah. And to prove that, have you ever seen, Eddie, somebody smoking? He's smoking. He said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
Never. No, you won't see that.
They don't go together.
Uh-huh.
You know, you smoke when you go to the bathroom, but you don't smoke when you make dhikr. You don't smoke in the pure places like the places of worship. Because al-dukhan khabith, it is evil things. It's not tayyib, it's not something good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْهُمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Allah made the khabith, the evil things, forbidden on them.
So this is something where it's a very interesting point, like that the scholars of that time, when they didn't have all the scientific information, they came to this.
Yes, that's why every single assembly of scholars, a majma, which is a group of scholars, a committee of fatwas, across the Muslim world, every single one, today, in modern days, their fatwa is very clear that smoking is forbidden.
Now, and another key point here is, like, if you do see, like, your imam doing some haram or doing something, that's a human being. He can make mistakes.
Absolutely.
So we don't follow them blindly?
Absolutely.
This is very important?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a story once, and I love when you tell these stories, and it was about someone who was at the Kaaba, and he asked the Sheikh something about wanting him,
yes,
or making dua to help him quit. But the moral was that if you don't have the sincere intention, then Allah's not going to help you. Can you share this story with us?
Absolutely. He was saying once, one of my friends, he was shooting in episodes like this, but in Mecca.
Yeah.
So the cameraman is very heavy smoker. So basically, he went outside to smoke, and my friend told him, why don't you quit smoking? He said, pray for me, Sheikh. He said, okay, come on. he said, I faced the Kaaba, it's a big window, and I would see the Kaaba. It was Ramadan, last third of the night, and I started raising my hand and praising Allah, mentioning His names and attributes, and all these beautiful things about Allah. So, and the guy basically was so moved by how I praised Allah. Then he said, my friend said, and I start asking Allah to give this man, from all the things I can think of, may Allah bless your wealth, your health, the children, this worldly life, the hereafter, maybe 2-3 minutes of a prayer for good things to this man. And the guy was crying and everybody in the room crying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Then he said in the end, I said, oh Allah, don't give him anything from what I ask today until he quit smoking.
Got him right there now.
The moment I said this, the guy said, Ameen, Ameen. When I said this, he stopped like, uh-huh. What? You know why he stopped? He never say Ameen. He wow. didn't say. Why? Because deep in his heart, he was not ready to quit smoking.
Wow.
And sometimes he said, oh, pray for me, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? You're not really ready to quit. You're not really ready to quit smoking. And if you're really ready to quit smoking, you will make that decision and you will commit to it. A friend of mine who came to my congregation in Houston, one day he told me, Sheikh, pray for me. I said, I'll pray for you. But my prayer is not enough. You have to take the action yourself. Allah will help you. When? when you start helping yourself. Allah will inspire you, but He will not do in your behalf things. You have to do it. You have to earn it, so you earn the reward of it. So what I want you to do, this is the advice I give it to my friend. Alhamdulillah, after 15 years of smoking, he never smoked a cigarette for the last 7 or 8 years now. The advice was, I said, every time you have the urge to smoke, start saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Make dhikr, because they don't go together. You cannot be making dhikr while you're smoking. They don't go together. And see how it's going to work for you or not.
Try that. We'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person and Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the da'wah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith. And Allahu
Akbar. I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Deen Show with Dr. Sheikh Waleed Bassouni, answering some questions. And we're going to move on to question number 3. The individual is asking, is smoking pot, you know, marijuana, weed, is this something that is prohibited in Islam? Since it's only a natural plant, it's a natural herb, and the individual talks about, because I don't see it prohibited in the Quran. What do we got to say about this, Sheikh?
First of all, let me make this rule clear so we can all agree on it. The prohibition of things are not only in the Quran. It's in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and also what the scholars agreed upon, the consensus of the Ijma. So don't just saying, I read in the Quran and I don't see it. Because first of all, it might be in the Quran and you never come across it, and it could be in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Quran usually give general rulings. And one of the general rules in the Quran, very clear, that you cannot cause any harm to your body. Anything will harm your body is not allowed. Anything is considered as khabith, something bad, evil. People consider it something evil. They will not consume it. It doesn't matter if it's natural or not. There is a lot of food and animals. They are natural. They are manufactured. And they're still not allowed to touch them, not allowed to eat them. They are najis, impure even. So saying that it's a natural, so that's why it's we're allowed to consume it, that's not true. That's not true. There's a lot of natural poison in some of the fruits. You're not allowed to eat it. It's haram. It's forbidden. It's harmful. That's one. Two, as I said, the Quran telling us in general, you're not allowed to consume anything can cause harm to you or to others. And no doubt, drugs, no matter what, starting from marijuana, going all the way down in the list, are harmful to your body, harmful to the society, and they cause nothing but animosity and always associated with violence and drugs. And I think this is well known today what drugs world looks like. So no doubt that it is forbidden, and the Muslim scholars today, in modern days, they forbid this. And also the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, نهى عن كل مفتر. The Prophet ﷺ forbade consuming or inhaling anything. It will drug you. It will make you feel basically so relaxed and slow and put your mood down. Anything like that, it is forbidden. And the Prophet ﷺ stated that. And the ulama, based on this hadith, they said using drugs to die or using this type of drugs will be forbidden, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
What about if somebody, like they have doctors who prescribe, in some states it's legal, where for their sickness, they will allow, the doctors will allow you to smoke pot. What does Islam have to say about this?
If the doctor prescribed this, it will be exactly look at like any morphine or any drugs that the doctor prescribed for as a painkiller, that will be permissible because there is a need for it.
Yes, but for you to now look at the Quran and say, well, Allah prohibited hamar, not pot, and you smoke some weed and go pray.
Absolutely.
You know, he said, don't come intoxicated. He didn't say, don't come high. You can't play with this.
No. It's the same concept. The same concept. And questions. Why would you want to be high with the drugs? I can tell you how to get high. Get high by reading the Quran, by committing yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you get high.
That's how you get high.
That's how you get high.
Yeah, get high with the remembrance of the Creator.
Yes, that's where you go high, connected to the heavens. Yes.
These drugs have side effects. You might feel high, but then you're going to be real low.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
This is amazing, amazing. And where could people go now to, if we didn't, because we're going to have to do another Q&A session with you, but for, I'm sure there's a lot of questions, and you are part of the Amja. How can people reach that place where they can go ahead and have some more questions?
You can go ahead and submit your questions on Amja Online, A-M-J-A, online, basically, .com. And you will, inshallah, your questions will be answered.
Sheikh, thank you very much. Inshallah, we look forward to doing another Q&A session with you.
Thank you very much.
May God Almighty Allah reward you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And there you had it, a special Q&A section. Look out for another one with Sheikh Dr. Waleed Bassouni. And you got to hear it. Don't disconnect with the Creator. Always pray these prayers. They're there to have us connected. And that can get us high. Get high by remembering your Creator, not with drugs. Not with things that have nasty side effects, and don't earn the pleasure of the one who created you. Get high with the remembrance of the one who created you. This is the way. We'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.